பத்ரம் கண்ணே பஸ்ருநுயாம தேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஸ்யேமாக்ஷபர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கைஸ்துஷ்டு வாகம்ஸஸ்தனூபிஹ வ்யஷேம தேவஹிதை யதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்த்ரோ வ்ருத்தஶ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஃ பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹி ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. முண்டகோபநிஷதி த்விதிய முண்டகே த்விதியஹா கண்டஹ. ஆவிஸ்ஸந்நிஹிதம் குஹாசரன்நாம ஆவிஸ்ஸந்நிஹிதம் குஹாசரன்நாம மகத்பதமத்ரைதத் சமர்ப்பிதம் ஏஜத் ப்ராணன் நிமிஷச்ச யதேதத் ஜானத சதசத்வரேண்யம் பரம் விஜ்ஞானாத் யத்வரிஷ்டம் ப்ரஜானாம் யதர்ச்சிமத் யதனுப்யோனுச யஸ்மில்லோகா நிஹிதா லோகினஸ்ச ததேததக்ஷரம் ப்ரஹ்ம சப்ராணஸ்தது வாங் மனஹ ததேதத் சத்யம் ததம்ருதம் தத்வேத்தவ்யம் சௌம்ய வித்தி யதர்ச்சிமத் யதனுப்யோனுச யஸ்மில்லோகா நிஹிதா லோகினஸ்ச ததேததக்ஷரம் ப்ரஹ்ம சப்ராணஸ்தது வாங் மனஹ ததேதத் சத்யம் ததம்ருதம் தத்வேத்தவ்யம் சௌம்ய வித்தி. தனுர்கிருஹீத்வௌபநிஷதம் மஹாஸ்த்ரம் ஷரம் ஹ்யுபாஸானிஷிதம் சந்தயீத ஆயம்ய தத் பாவகதேன சேதஸா லக்ஷ்யம் ததேவாக்ஷரம் சௌம்ய வித்தி. I'm sure you all have understood very well the third mantra. Dhanurgrihi tvaupanishadam mahastram sharam hyupasanishitam sandhayita ayam yatat bhavagatena chetasa laksham tadevaksharam somya viddhi pranavo dhanusharo hyatma brahma tallakshyam uchyate அப்ரமத்தேன வேத்தவ்யம் ஷரவத்தன்மயோ பவேத். பிரணவோ தனுஷரோ ஹ்யாத்மா ப்ரஹ்ம தல்லக்ஷ்யமுச்யதே அப்ரமத்தேன வேத்தவ்யம் ஷரவத்தன்மயோ பவேத். யஸ்மின் த்யௌஃ பிருத்திவீ சாந்தரிக்ஷம் மனசஹ பிராணைச்ச சர்வைஹி தமேவைகம் ஜானத ஆத்மானம் அன்யாவாசோ விமுஞ்சத அம்ருதஸ்யைஷ சேதுஹ யஸ்மின் த்யௌஃ பிருத்திவீ சாந்தரிக்ஷம் ஓதம் மனசஹ பிராணைச்ச சர்வைஹி தமேவைகம் ஜானத ஆத்மானம் தமேவைகம் ஜானத ஆத்மானம் அன்யதா வாசோ விமுஞ்சத அம்ருதஸ்யைஷ சேதுஹ. ஓகே, சோ பை ட்வெல்லிங் அப்பான் தி மீனிங் ஆஃப் ஓங்காரா இஸ் சப்போஸ்ட் டு அரைவ் அட் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் ரியாலிட்டி. And we can arrive at the nature of reality only as the essential nature of one's own self. And once you arrive at it, that is what actually one should know. So Upanishad says in this fifth mantra, Tam yekam atmanam janatha. May you understand that only that atma. That is what is need, that is what finally you need to know. Anyaha vachaha vimunchata. So give up your efforts to know other disciplines. Give up other words of unnecessary efforts. Of your unnecessary speech, unnecessary talkings, unnecessary other things are vimunchata. Give up all efforts to learn to learning, efforts of learning other disciplines. Why? Because amritasya eshaha setuhu. This is the only bridge. This alone will help you cross the ocean of samsara to reach the shore of moksha. And what is that Atma? The Atma, yasmin, in which alone, everything is otam, interwoven. Yesterday I said, Bhagavan is like the threads in which the fabric of universe is woven. The fabric of universe is woven in the yarn of Bhagavan. The threads of Bhagavan. Prithivi cha antariksham dyauhu. Dyauhu stands for three words are very powerful words. Dyauhu means swargaloka. Prithivi bhuloka, this earth. So bhuhu and suvaha. Antariksham means bhuvaha, the intermediary space, the intermediary worlds. All three worlds above, the seven worlds above are reduced to three worlds. All these worlds in and through are pervaded by Bhagavan, means are interwoven in Bhagavan, which means all those worlds are only appearances. And then what about the subtle world? What about the minds? What about pranas? What about sense organs? Everything. The sense organs, organs of actions, physiological functions, mind, all of them, the individuals, microcosmic, the forms, the body, mind, and complexes of the individuals, and the entire world of, entire universe of all beings, inclusive of all three worlds, are interwoven in the threads of Paramatma. Therefore, what is Satyam? Paramatma obtaining in the form of consciousness alone is Satyam. And the whole Jagat is Mithya. There is Jiva is also Atma. Jagat is also Atma. Ishvara is also Atma. And may you discover that Atma, your own Swarupam. Because this is the only bridge. It means what? Setuhu means Amrutasya. Amrita means immortality. Amrita literally means nectar. Amrita means immortality here. Amritatvam. And this is the only means of attaining immortality. This is the only bridge which can help you cross the ocean of samsara, reach the shore of moksha. This is the meaning of this verse, fifth mantra. If one has to shift oneself from this remaining in this journey of mortality. What is journey of mortality? Journey of mortality means being born once and going to the life of paths of opposites, again dying, getting old, again dying, again being born, again going to life of paths of opposites, again becoming old, again dying, continuously punaha api janam punaha api maranam. Continuously going through the journey from mortality to mortality is samsara. Whereas if we discover the fact, discover the truth that Atma, why? The abstract reality, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, thereby which is implied by the term Atma, and Janatha, if you discover that Atma, if you discover it, then you can shift the identity from Anatma, body, mind, sense complex, to consciousness. Unless and until you discover your discover this Paramatma obtaining as your own Swarupam. This consciousness can be arrived at only as the truth of the experiencer knower subject. Once you arrive at it, then you can shift O, content of I. Yes, the content of wave is water. Similarly, content of I, substance or the substantive I is nothing but consciousness. Once you discover it, then you can shift your identity, shift your I sense from the anatma, body, mind sense complex to this all pervasive, only secondless, non-dual reality, consciousness. Once you place the I sense in consciousness cognitively, intellectually, when you claim consciousness as yourself, I am consciousness, then you have shifted your journey from being subject to mortality to immortality, non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting freedom, fullness of happiness. Therefore, that's what is meaning of the word. This knowledge is very important. It is a choiceless knowledge. Aham Brahma Asmi, one has to definitely understand. So, please understand, freeing oneself from the bondage of immortality, attainment of immortality means you can never attain immortality because you're already immortal reality. So, discovering the immortality being already your own nature is attainment of immortality. You can never attain Saha Nilai, immortality. You can only discover you are of the nature of immortality, already immortal reality. Once you discover that you are immortal reality, and thereby what happens? The fear, the phenomenon called fear will disappear. The phenomenon called fear will completely resolve for good, because if it is the fear of death, fear of mortality is in the form of fear caused by any situation in life. Anxiety, fear and insecurity will resolve for good, because you are the only source of security for the whole jagat. Therefore, the fear will resolve. And this is the greatest benefit. And the fearless person is the happiest person is a success, most successful person. This is the concept of success with reference to Shastram. So, Shankara Bhagavatpada also says that so here, there's no journey involved. There's no way of traveling anywhere. It doesn't mean attainment of immortality. Does not mean traveling to any loka. There's no journey. There's no way of going to Brahma loka, Kailasa loka, or Vaikuntha loka. No loka is involved here. Because all lokas are you. So just discovering the fact, claiming and remaining in this ascertained vision of your own Swarupam being consciousness, this ascertainment alone takes time. The repeated listening and repeated repeatedly dwelling upon this fact alone will bless you with this ascertainment. And that is what is moksha. There's no need for physically traveling to any loka is not required. And then that is not moksha also. If at all, so in subtle form, a person travels to other lokas, there is no moksha there. So here, this is what is moksha. Amrutasya yeshaha setuhu. It's called self-recognition. Shifting one's essence, self-identity from the body, mind, sense complex to the witness consciousness, is jnanam. That's what is shifting. That is what is the bridge. Because that is how all wrong notions you have about yourselves drop. The distance, the ignorance caused a distance between the Jivatma and Paramatma becomes resolved. There's no distance at all. You're recognizing the distancelessness, recognizing the non-separateness, inseparability is jnanam. Therefore, Bhagavan, the Upanishad says, tam evam, tam ekameva janatha. All that you need to do is just discover the truth, obtaining as your own swarupam. Okay, next mantra. Ara iva rathana bho samhata yatra nadyaha. The beautiful mantra again. Ara iva rathana bho. Ara iva rathana bho samhata yatra nadyaha. Ara iva rathana bho samhata yatra nadyaha. Ara iva rathana bho samhata yatra nadyaha. Sa yeshontas charate bahudha jayamanaha. Sa yeshontas charate bahudha jayamanaha. Sa yeshontas charate bahudha jayamanaha. Om ityevam dhyayata atmanam. Om ityevam dhyayata atmanam. Swasti vah paraya tamasah parastat. You can see how imperative verbs are used here. Swasti vah paraya tamasah parastat. Ara iva rathana bho samhata yatra nadyaha. Ara iva rathana bho samhata yatra nadyaha. Sa yeshontas charate bahudha jayamanaha. Sa yeshontas charate bahudha jayamanaha. Om ityevam dhyayatha atmanam. Om ityevam dhyayatha atmanam. Swasti vah paraya tamasah parastat. Swasti vah paraya tamasah parastat. Ara iva rathana bho samhata yatra nadyaha. Sa yeshontas charate bahudha jayamanaha. Om ityevam dhyayatha atmanam. Om ityevam dhyayatha atmanam. Swasti vah paraya tamasah parastat. Swasti vah paraya tamasah parastat. Okay. Let me break the mantra's words first. Araha iva. The visarga followed by visarga following long vowel gets dropped. Araha iva. Ara iva. Ratha nabho. Rathasya nabhihi rathanabhihi. Ikaranta shabda. Rathanabhihi. Hub of a chariot. Hub of a wheel of the chariot. Rathasya chakrasya nabhihi. Rathachakra nabhihi. Then rathanabhihi. Rathanabhihi. Nabhihi mean, literally means navel. Rathanabhihi. Ratha means chariot. Ratanabhi. Locative case Ratanabhu. Samhataha. Samhataha. Araha samhataha. Yatra. Nadyaha. Nadi நாட்யஹ, நாடி சப்தஹ இன் பொருள் நாட்யஹ. சக ஏஷஹ, சக ஏஷஹ விசர்க பிஃபோர் ஏகார இஸ் டிராப். சக ஏஷஹ, எஸ்பெஷலி விசர்க ப்ரிசர்வ் பை ஷார்ட் வவல் அகாரா ஃபாலோட் பை ஏ ஆல்சோ பிகம்ஸ் டிராப். ச ஏஷஹ, சக ஏஷஹ அந்தஸ்சரதே, அந்தஹாசரதே, அந்தஹாசரதே, அந்தஸ்சரதே பஹுதா ஜாயமானஹ, அந்தஸ்சரதே பஹுதா ஜாயமானஹ. ஓம் இதி ஓமிதி, ஏவம் இதி ஏவம் இத்யேவம், ஓம் இதி ஏவம் ஓமித்யேவம் த்யாயத, ஓம் இதி ஏவம் த்யாயத, த்யாயத மே யூ மெடிடேட் அப்பான், மே யூ மெடிடேட், த்யாயத ஆத்மானம், ஆத்மானம் ஸ்வஸ்தி வஹ, ஸ்வஸ்தி வஹ பாராய தமசா பரஸ்தாத், தமசா பரஸ்தாத் அராய்வரதநாபோ சம்ஹதாஹ யத்ர நாட்யஹ. கேன் ஃபுல் கேன் சாண்ட் லைக் திஸ், அராய்வரதநாபோ சம்ஹதா யத்ர நாட்யஹ, அராய்வரதநாபோ சம்ஹதா யத்ர நாட்யஹ. சயேஷோந்தஸ்சரதே பஹுதா ஜாயமானஹ, சயேஷோந்தஸ்சரதே பஹுதா ஜாயமானஹ. ஓமித்யேவம் த்யாயத ஆத்மானம், ஓமித்யேவம் த்யாயத ஆத்மானம் ஸ்வஸ்தி வஃ பாராய, ஸ்வஸ்தி வஃ பாராய தமஸஃ பரஸ்தாத், ஸ்வஸ்தி வஃ பாராய தமஸஃ பரஸ்தாத். சோ வாட் இஸ் உபனிஷத் டீச் இன் திஸ் மந்திரா? சோ உபனிஷத் இன் திஸ் மந்திரா teaches us how we can grab our attention from everywhere, then how we can place our attention on our own swarupam. So shifting the attention from the world to Bhagavan is nothing but shifting our attention from the material world of objects to the non-material consciousness principle. So Upanishad in fact helps us to shift our focus from the world of material objects to this pure consciousness. We know the entire objective universe of material objects, material forms, names and functions are subject to constant change, whereas consciousness is of the nature of changelessness. So shifting our attention from the changing material forms and names to the changeless consciousness is the main focus. And this Chaitanyam alone is looked upon as what? The Lord, the Lord of the universe, from the standpoint of the universe. So, in order to grab, take our attention to the pure, subtlest consciousness, first Upanishad mentions about our body. First Upanishad shows our body, brings our body to our attention. Even though Upanishad's aim is to take our attention to the consciousness, first Upanishad brings our attention to our own physical body. Then, why? Because our attention is always extroverted. Mind is always extroverted. What eyes see externally, what ears hear externally, what the sense organs are perceiving externally, our attention is always with the sense organs. The attention is always drawn towards the external world of objects. First of all, Upanishad brings attention from the world to the body. Even the body is also part of the objective universe. Because we have strong eyesense in the body, we even ignore the body. Attention is only externally in the world. I'm repeating the sentence. As we already have identity with the body, as we take this body, mind, sense complex for the whole big thing for the self, our attention is not in the self. Attention is only in the world of objects other than the body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, Upanishad brings attention to the body first. Then, after that, Upanishad. Why? Because from the body alone, attention has to be taken inwardly to the self. Even though consciousness is not just inside, consciousness is all pervasive. But all pervasive consciousness is not an object. It is not available for objectification, perception, or thought conception. But all pervasive consciousness obtaining as the innermost essence, it has to be recognized as the truth of the I. It is available for recognition only in the mind. Therefore, Upanishad has to gradually take attention from the body to the consciousness. And if we go to any temple also, we can see there are many, many, many prakaraha. Prakaraha, very many prakaraha. The many compounds, many walls, many prakaras. We have to go inside one first prakara, then second prakara, then third prakara, and finally you have to reach the sanctum sanctorum. So our physical body, which is nothing but modified form of food, is called annamaya koshaha. And from this annamaya kosha, we have to analyze, understand the annamaya kosha. Then we have to move to what? Pranamaya. Then from pranamaya, Upanishad will take attention to, suppose take to manomaya, then vijnanamaya, then anandamaya. Then finally, you cannot go beyond. How far can you go? When you go to the temple, you can cross the first prakara, second prakara, third prakara, fourth. Once you arrive at the Garbhagriham, you cannot go anywhere. In the Garbhagriham alone, you have the darshanam of Bhagavan. In the same way, only up to the mind you can go. In the mind, you have to arrive at the consciousness as something which is beyond the mind, distinct from the mind, distinct from all the thoughts. And what is beyond consciousness? Nothing. There's nothing beyond consciousness. Consciousness is beyond everything. Therefore, here, what is this physical heart? Our physical heart, okay, is the golakam. Physical heart is the golakam of the, we said already. And the physical heart is like the, physical heart is the golakam where the mind, indriyam called mind is. And therefore, and in this physical heart is like a center of an individual being. The physical heart is taken to be the hub or the center point of the individual. And how Upanishad teaches that? Upanishad gives an example to teach, to drive home the subject matter, the teaching. Give an example that how heart is the center of the individual being. Heart is the hub of the individual. It's the center point of the individual. And for which Upanishad gives an example of a wheel. Okay. Why Upanishad gives an example of a wheel? Please listen now. You have to see, all of you must think of a wheel. Let all your minds be with the wheel now. Any wheel should have a rim. Every wheel should have a rim. And the rim alone, rim is that which enables, the rim is that which enables it to move on the road. What makes the vehicle or chariot move on the road? It is the wheel. But not wheel also is the rim of the wheel which alone enables the wheel to move. Thereby the whole chariot moves. Any vehicle moves. Therefore, any wheel should have a rim. The rim enables the wheel move on the path, move on the road. Thereby it helps you to go. It helps you to move on the road. So if the wheel is big wheel, journey can be fast. If the wheel is much bigger, journey can be faster. It's the biggest wheel, huge wheel, the journey will be much, much faster. Which means the wheel must be strong also. Wheel can't afford to be weak. Wheel must be very strong wheel. And in order to make the wheel strong, whoever makes this wheel, they also fix the spokes. If the wheel has to be strong, the wheel must have many spokes. There are several spokes in a wheel. And the rim of the wheel should be connected to the hub. I'm teaching how the wheel is made, okay? The rim of the wheel is connected to the hub. And where is the hub? The hub of the wheel. In the middle of the wheel, there is a hub. Just the hub of the wheel is the middle of the wheel. And the rim, the spokes are the strong spokes. Connect the rim to the hub. So the rim is connected to the hub with the help of this, through this strong many spokes. The spokes cannot be there. Spokes cannot be there without a hub. The spokes alone can connect the rim to the hub. Which means if the spokes do not connect the rim to the hub, then rim cannot even exist. It is not possible for the rim to stay without being connected to the hub with the help of spokes. Therefore, and then what happens? The whole wheel, late big then, is also connected with the hub. Through the spokes. And the hub is in the middle of the wheel. Now, with understanding, let us think now. What about our heart? Okay, like our physical heart. Our physical heart is like the hub of the individual, the central part of the individual being. And there, mind is in the heart. Mind is the indriyam obtaining in the golakam called heart. And this mind is the one, the subtle phenomenon, subtle material phenomenon where consciousness is available for recognition. That is why mind is as though an abode of consciousness, witness consciousness. Please remember, when I say abode, don't think consciousness located in the mind. No. Consciousness is all pervasive. In consciousness, mind also exists. But it is the mind, the subtle material phenomenon, is the seat of witness consciousness. Now, body, the physical body, is also like a wheel. The physical body is like a wheel. Okay. The physical body, now the whole wheel, the body is likened to wheel. The physical body is like a wheel. Peripheries of the physical body is like a wheel. And what are the spokes which connect this wheel of body to the hub of heart? Our Shastram talks about many nadis. There are many nadis, very subtle nadis. If we dissect and see, we cannot find out where those nadis are. There are many, many various nadis. And those nadis pervade all over the body. And those nadis are like the spokes of the wheel. The physical body is like a wheel, and the spokes or nadis are like the spokes of the wheel. If you find where the nadis are all over the body, nadis are spread. These nadis are like the spokes of the wheel. And our prana is traveling. A prana is constantly moving through these nadis. Pranic energy, our prana shakti, our prana shakti is always constantly moving through these nadis. And then what is prana? Understand? The life our life itself is determined by this prana shakti, prana tattva. Suppose somebody is live or not. First, any doctor will determine whether the person is live or not by checking the prana. So prana tattvam alone determines our life, whether life is there or not. And the prana shakti, the pranic energy is constantly moving, traveling through these nadis, which are like the spokes. And who says this? Don't ask whether I have seen whether prana shakti moving through the traveling through the nadis. Shastram says, see, for Vaidikas, people who accept Veda Shastram as the pramanam, who just accept. Veda Shastram says that our prana travels through the nadis. And how many nadis are there? In fact, if we go to Chidambaram temple, they say there's a connection. Okay, the Chidambaram temple shows the number of nadis pervading the body. I'll talk about later on. So they say 72 lakhs. 72 lakhs of nadis, not crores, lakhs. 72 lakhs of nadis are there, it seems. The number may not be accurate, okay? I'm just telling you the number. May not be accurate, but they say. Because I think we also come across in Saundar Lahari class, I'll let you know when we'll come across that. Therefore, then there are nadis. So, even though so many nadis are said, but anyway, definitely there are more than 10,000 nadis. There are main nadis, pradhana nadyaha means main nadis are there. They say there are more than 100 pradhana nadyaha. And then there are more than 10,000 amukhya nadyaha. There are more than 10,000 secondary nadis. There are many main nadis and secondary nadis, also side nadis. They talk about different types of nadis also. Anyway, so what Shastram says is, the pranic energy is constantly moving through these various nadis, many countless nadis. And all the nadis pervading the whole body are linked to the physical heart, that is hub of the body, hub of the wheel of body. And the nadis are like the spokes. Now you have idea. What is the rim of the wheel? The body is like a wheel, rim of the wheel, and which is connected to the hub is, the heart is like the hub of the wheel, and the nadis are like the spokes which connect the rim to the hub. Now, why heart is so important, hub of the body, center point, why do you say center place? Because it is the heart. In this heart alone, antahkaranam, the mind, antahkaranam is an indriyam located in the hridaya golakam. Antahkarana indriyam is located in the hridaya golakam. Therefore, Shastram says, physical heart is the abode of the mind. Physical heart is the abode of the mind. What about the brain then? Okay. Brain is like the functional place. Brain is the functional place of the mind. And a physical heart is the house. See, when people go to office, work and come back to their homes. So a physical heart is like the home of the mind, where mind remains, from where mind goes. Mind goes means the mind becomes, functional. Then when the mind becomes functional, it is connected to what? Brain. So brain is like the functioning place of the mind, like an office. Physical heart is like the home of the mind. Home and office, two places where people live. Okay. So physical heart is like the home, brain is like the functional office. Now, what happens in deep sleep state? In deep sleep state, all the thoughts become resolved, mind also becomes resolved. Mind with all its thoughts remains resolved as a non-functional passive mind. Then mind is at home in the heart. When the, in the waking state, in the Jagrat Avastha, when the mind is functional, then mind through with this all its thoughts risen, mind pervades the whole physical body. So mind pervades the whole physical body means what? Mind pervades all the organs, the entire body, of course, including the brain. But in Sushupti Avastha, the mind, all its thoughts are withdrawn. All the thoughts become resolved. The mind remains passive. In waking state, mind remains active. The active mind in the waking state, with its thoughts pervades the whole body. And in deep sleep state, mind with all its thoughts resolved, remains resolved as in passive mind, remains in the heart. Because we know very well how each indriyam has its respective golakam. You know very well the physical part is golakam, indriyam is the subtle power. The seeing power has its golakam, hearing power has its golakam. All sense powers have the respective golakams, the physical parts. Similarly, mind is an indriyam for which heart is the golakam. Therefore, Upanishad first takes us to the physical body. Then, after taking your attention to the body, then Upanishad gradually shifts our attention from the body to the nadi. I'm not translating the word nadi, okay? If we use nerve, if we use any word, it will be wrong translation. Let us keep the word as nadi. So Upanishad takes our attention first to the shariram, then sharirat nadim prati nayati, nadis. Then from the nadi, Upanishad takes attention to the hub, the physical heart. And he, having taken us to the physical heart, then Upanishad takes attention to the antahkaranam mind. And it is the mind where the witness consciousness is available for recognition. And this gradually taking attention from the grossest body to the subtler nadi to subtler, okay, mind and subtlest consciousness. The shift for with this is a prakriya. What is the method here? The method of teaching methodology involved here is what? Shakha Chandra Nyayaha. Shakha Chandra Nyaya is the methodology used. And it taking us, it's also said to be taking us from the known to the unknown. Shakha Chandra Nyaya. Helping us understand the subtlest by taking us through the gradually helping us arrive at the subtlest one. Okay, now, what is this Chaitanyam? Consciousness is always available for recognition means how? In the form of continuously happening experiences. Okay, consciousness is available for recognition in the form of continuously, constantly happening experiences in the waking state. Consciousness is not any of the experiences, but every experience we have is nothing but consciousness. Okay. Consciousness is there always in the mind. As what? In the form, consciousness is available in the form for recognition, in the form of constantly, continuously arriving, departing cognitions, experiences. Therefore, there, gradually Upanishad helps us shift our attention from the experiences to, first of all, Upanishad takes attention to the constantly, continuously flowing experiences in the form of thoughts. How once you wake up from sleep in the morning, until you fall asleep, the whole day, what you have is continuous flow of experiences. We don't even pay attention to all our experiences. Now, what Shastram says, another secret. We think we are experiencing the world outside. We think whatever experiences we have, all those experiences are of the things outside. Really speaking, all our experiences are in the mind only. See, if you see the door in the mind, then there is a door outside. If there's no experience of door in the mind, you cannot, the door doesn't exist outside for you. Even if the door is outside, unless you experience the door in the mind, the door outside will not exist for you. Therefore, whatever we are experiencing outside in the external world is nothing but our cognitions which have in our mind. So in keeping with the external world of objects is in keeping with the internal cognitions we have in the mind. Whatever cognition experience we have in the mind, accordingly you experience objects outside. But we do not know. Always our attention is extroverted, searching in the world outside. When we look at this world, when we see this world, we experience, we perceive varieties of things, and there are various experiences in the mind. So whatever experience outside is actually speaking experienced in the mind. Therefore, Upanishad, what does Upanishad do? Gradually turns our attention to the mind. From there, Upanishad takes attention to our nadis, and nadis to the physical heart, and physical heart to the antahkarana mind, and this physical heart also is what a gross physical physical the heart is a physical part, gross physical part of the body. Whereas the mind, the indriyam is, mind is an invisible indriyam, whereas imperceptible, invisible indriyam, whereas physical heart is a visible gross physical part. Heart is a physical part, visible physical part. Mind is invisible indriyam, shakti. The physical heart is part of the physical body, sthola shariram. Whereas a mind, this invisible subtle indriyam, is a part of the sukshma shariram, subtle body. So mind is part of the subtle body. Heart is the part of the physical body, gross body, sthola shariram, sukshma shariram. Now, and from this mind also, you understand mind in terms of experiences we have, the cognitions we entertain. And Upanishad finally says, the pure consciousness is, not pure consciousness cannot be born and gone, but it seems The consciousness is continuously comes and goes in the form of many experiences. Okay? But consciousness does not come and go. The vrittis come, and in every vritti, consciousness becomes reflected. And when the vritti goes, it looks as though consciousness also is in motion. The unmoving, unchanging, changeless consciousness, because of its reflection in the thoughts, it seems to be moving. The unmoving, unchanging consciousness, because of its reflection in the thoughts of the mind, seems to be moving. Therefore, what happens? Experiences are possible. And what is that which is reflected in the thoughts, the way which seems to be moving, and because of which experiences are possible, that is the source of reflection in the moving thoughts. There's so many thoughts rise and move. There's so many reflections of only consciousness. That there's so many manifestations of only consciousness. And what is the source of those reflections of consciousness in the arriving, departing thoughts? That source is pure consciousness. Okay? And the pure consciousness is the truth of I. Okay? Let us understand the meanings of the words in the mantra now. Ara iva rathanabho samhataha. Araha iva rathanabho samhataha. Araha, araha, arau, araha. Araha means spokes. Iva means like, yatha. Iva is an indeclinable word which means like. Like the spokes, araha iva, just as the spokes of a wheel, spokes, let's see, wheel, ratanabhav samhataha, ratanabhihi means hub of the wheel, see, ratasya chakrasya nabihi, ratha chakra nabihi. Then the nabi becomes, the chakra becomes dropped. We say ratha nabihi. It's called madhyama padalopi samasa. I have not taught you samasa, so don't worry about it. So ratasya chakrasya nabihi, ratha chakra nabihi, then ratha nabihi. The middle word becomes dropped. So ratha nabihi should be taken as what? Not the hub of the chariot, hub of the wheel of the chariot. Ratha nabho samhataha. So araha means spokes. Araha iva means just as the spokes of the spoke, just as the spokes, ratha nabho samhataha, just as the spokes are. Samhataha means what? Fixed or converged in the, fixed on to the hub of the wheel of a chariot. We'll drop towards chariot, okay? Ratanabhav, converge at the hub of a wheel, fixed on to the hub of the wheel. Yatra, you can say, now hridayam, now the, in the heart, the hub of the, hub of the individual being, hridayam, the heart, the hub of the individual being, where, yatra where, so in the heart, hridayam, yatra hridayam, in the heart, the hub of the individual being, nadyaha samhataha. The nadis of the bodies are fixed, mean connected to that heart, where the nadis of the body converge. See, there's a heart. The physical heart is the hub of the individual being. Yatra where nadyaha samhataha, nadis of the bodies converge. They join. When they all join, they come to the heart. That be what? They all join the mind. They all connected to the mind in the heart. The spokes are connected to the hub of the wheel. So also all the nadis are connected to, they come to the, connected to the heart. Thereby they become connected to the mind obtaining in the heart. Now, saha yeshaha. Saha yeshaha, can you see the mantra? Saha yeshaha means, saha is a third person singular pronoun. Yeshaha is a third person singular pronoun, which means this. Saha yeshaha means, saha stands for what? That Paramatma. Saha means that all pervasive reality, the Bhagavan, the truth of the whole cosmos, is yeshaha, this truth of I. Saha stands for that Paramatma. Yeshaha stands for this Jivatma. That Paramatma alone, is all pervasive, only consciousness alone, is here with the new name Jivatma. Okay? The same indivisible consciousness alone is here as the truth of the individual. The truth of the universe Paramatma is here as this truth of the individual. Saha Yeshaha. What is that? Consciousness. Atma. Saha yesh means that Paramatma alone is this Atma, this all-pervasive consciousness. And how is this consciousness available for us? Bahudha jayamanaha. One and the only changeless consciousness seems to be continuously rising and go, rising and falling, rising and falling. Bahudha jayamanaha. Continuously being born. Yesterday we learned shanach. Jayamanaha. Atma. Yeshaha jayamanaha. That Paramatma, all pervasive, only reality, existence, hence existence, the whole jagat, is this consciousness implied by the term Atma. This consciousness alone is what? Bahudha jayamanaha. Continuously is there. Comes and goes. Comes and goes. Continuously is born and gone. Born and gone. Bahudha jayamanaha. Variety. Variously. Bahudha. The one and the only unchanging, changeless, unmoving consciousness seems to be continuously, variously being born and gone. So consciousness, how can consciousness continuously be born and gone? Now, consciousness is as though continuously being born and gone. Okay, in the form of how? See, antaha charate. Antaha charate means what? It is moving. Charate, antaha charate. It is moving in the mind, as though it is moving in the mind. It is available for recognition in the mind. The unmoving, unchanging, changeless consciousness is as though rising and falling, as though moving in the mind. In what form? In the form of various experiences of sense objects. In the form of various sensory experiences. Whatever is heard, whatever is smelled, whatever is tasted, whatever is seen. So, in the form of various sensory experiences. So what it is said is, anubhavaha. We can say cognitions. Bahuda jayamanaha means bahu anubhava rupena. Vividha anubhava rupena jayate. Jayamanaha means what? The many experiences in the form of many arriving, departing experiences, consciousness alone is seemingly moving. So it's very clear, pure consciousness is pure awareness, is of the nature of changelessness, motionlessness. Therefore, how is it possible for us to say consciousness rises and consciousness falls? Is gone and born, how can we say that? See, please understand, consciousness does not become an object of experience. Consciousness is not an object of experience, because consciousness is the very swarupam of the experiencer. Consciousness can never become an object of experience. It can never be experienced. Consciousness by itself is not an object of experience. But when the mind comes in contact with the external world through the sense organs, when this antahkaranam is active, when the mind is active, the mind is functional in the waking state, when all the thoughts rise, thereby when the mind with having its varieties of thoughts being functional, being active through the sense organs, when the mind comes in contact with the external world of objects, external sense of world of sense objects. Because the sense organs are like the entrances for the sense object to enter into the mind. Okay. So entrances, like the gates. And when the mind comes in contact with the external world through these doors of entrances of sense organs, then what happened? Mind comes in contact with the external world of objects through sense organs. Then the fivefold cognitions of fivefold objects take place in the mind, which means the mind comes in contact with the external world through five different sense organs. Okay, we know that eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin. And through these five sense organs, the mind perceives five different sense objects. Now we can say rupa, rasa, the rupa, shabda. You put different out, okay? Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandaha. Shabda to ears, sparsha to through skin, rupam to eyes, through eyes, rasa through tongue, and gandha through nose. Sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. This is how the mind comes in contact with the five sense objects. The whole jagat can be reduced to five sense objects only. There's no sixth sense object available. Okay? We have only five sense organs. And through five sense organs, the world can be experienced only in five different forms as five different objects. Shabda sparsha rupa rasa gandhaha. Then fivefold objects. Then when the mind comes in contact with these objects, there's many thoughts, respective thoughts rise in the mind. The respective thoughts rise in the mind. And every thought is known as vrittihi, antahkarana vrittihi. When the mind comes in contact with the sound, then there is a vrittihi, thought pertaining to the sound rises in the mind. It's called a shabda vrittihi. When the mind comes in contact with any given form through the eyes, and there's a thought pertaining to that particular object, then we can say what? That is, that particular vritti comes. The mind comes in contact with the any object of touch, and there is a respective corresponding thought pertaining to that object. Suppose if the object is touched, then there's a sparsha vritti. If object is smelled, suppose you go to the puja room and you smell the incense stick or camphor, flowers, etc., then that is, there's a rasa vritti. Then there's a grana vritti or gandha vritti. Gandha vritti. Then rupa vritti. Rupa vritti, thought pertaining to forms and the light. Rasa vritti, thoughts pertaining to the taste. Sparsha vritti, thought pertaining to touch. Shabda vritti, thought pertaining to the sound. Gandha vritti, thought pertaining to the smell. Like this, there are many various vrittis are constantly, various vrittis are constantly coming and going, rising and falling. See, all these vrittis are all material in nature. The vrittis which rise are material in nature. So they're inert, they're of the nature of inertness. Because they're material thoughts, thoughts are material products. Therefore, they are of the nature of inertness. So inert thoughts themselves cannot become cognitions. Inert thoughts themselves cannot become experiences. Therefore, please understand, experience involves two factors. One is a vritti, one is consciousness. Pure consciousness without a vritti cannot contribute for experience. Cannot become an experience. And a mere vritti, which is an inert material product, cannot become experienced by itself without the blessing of consciousness. Therefore, only when there is manifestation, reflection of the unmoving consciousness in the rising, arriving, departing thoughts. Listen to me carefully. The mind must be formed, the thoughts must arise. Okay, when in the unmoving consciousness, when it becomes reflected or manifest in the arriving, departing thoughts, then there is experience possible. So consciousness must, and the thought, consciousness aspect and thought aspect, two aspects together alone become an experience. Okay, when consciousness, when man becomes manifest in the thought, that is when the thought becomes an experience or cognition. Therefore, a thought becomes a mere material inert thought becomes an experience because of the blessing of presence of consciousness. Presence of consciousness itself is a blessing. So you have to remember, the thoughts are dependent on consciousness for their very existence. Whereas consciousness is dependent on the thoughts for its manifestation. The consciousness manifest or reflected in the thought alone becomes an experience. It is the blessing of consciousness, the presence of consciousness, which makes the experience possible, which converts the thought into an experience. Not by doing something, but it's mere presence. Mere presence of consciousness. Now, our attention is on what? Our attention is placed on the thought aspect. In every experience, our attention is placed on the thought aspect. We do not know thought aspect or anything. Our attention is never placed on the consciousness aspect. Our attention is never placed on the consciousness aspect. Like what? When we go to, suppose, imagine, if we go to shopping, okay, now it's Ashadha Mas month, everywhere a lot of shop there in India, okay, in, I don't know, all other places. India, this Adi Masam, Adi sale, the whole women gang, in spite of COVID situation also, people are, I was so shocked to see, and that day I was traveling, coming with the road, all town hall roads are full, the gold jewelry shops were full. The silk saris, big huge shops are all full, and people go. What I want to say here, people go there to buy. Imagine when you go, if they, suppose the whole shop, the lights are turned off, the huge shops like Poti's and then Chennai Silks, all those types, the lights are turned off. What can you see? There's so many floors, first floor, second floor, third floor. People go and crowd. All of them are seeing different colors. Whole attention of the people is where only on the saris, designs, colors, price, and they this and that. And too many saris they see, they get confused also. Which to see, which not to see, which to select. There's a big confusion selecting because choice is available. But nobody pay attention to the light there. And power goes half an hour. And until the generator is turned on, they all stand in darkness. Then they do not see anything. 1 second, what are we saying? Attention is placed always on something colorful, not on the light. You know, light is so important. Similarly here, our attention also, when we have experiences, our attention is always totally focused on the thought aspect of the experience, not on the consciousness aspect of the experience. Okay, therefore, what we need to understand here, Upanishad says, there are thoughts in our minds in the waking state, and there are various thoughts, because not the same thoughts, the thoughts are different varieties of thoughts, variety of thoughts, and they constantly are changing. Must remember, each and every thought shines. Each and every thought shines because of the presence of consciousness. Each and every thought is illumined by consciousness, not by an action, by its mere presence. Because consciousness is all pervasive consciousness, pervading the entire mind, pervading every thought, spreads. Is spread all over the thought. Like how any object illumined by the sunlight is spread all over the object. Similarly, consciousness is also what spread all over the thought. And that consciousness in and through pervading the thought is known as Paranjyotihi. Mahajyotihi, Jyotisham Jyotihi, light of lights, light of consciousness. The pure consciousness pervading each and every thought all over is what? Light of consciousness. Because avisannihitam, you already seen that word in the first mantra. Therefore, now, so thoughts Of course, when the mind is functional active, thoughts keep on coming and they contribute for the rising of experiences. It's all because of what? Blessing of consciousness. The thoughts cannot even come if the consciousness is not. Thoughts come, thoughts arise, thoughts exist, thoughts fall because of the blessing of consciousness. And in the thought, there's a reflection of consciousness because of the presence of consciousness. I mean, all the thoughts resolve also because of the blessing of consciousness. And when thoughts resolve, then there's no reflection of consciousness. If we're in deep sleep state, there is no experience. So there's experience of the experiencelessness in deep sleep state. That experience also is possible because of the presence of consciousness. In the waking state, there is experience of many experiences, and that experiences also is what? Nothing but the flow of seeming motion of consciousness. Therefore, Bahudha Jayamanaha. And so what Upanishad says is, gradually, repeatedly listening to the unfoldment of the nature of the self, listening to the subject matter of the Shastram, with the help of a competent teacher, okay, one can turn one's attention from gradually, constantly arriving, departing thought aspect to the changeless, non-arriving, non-departing consciousness. Therefore, what one should do? One must be given to the discipline of Nididhyasanam, involving the three steps, Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. The Upanishad says, O Mityevam Dhyayatha Atmanam. Om Iti Atmanam Dhyayatha. O Dhyayatha, may you meditate. May you meditate means what? May you shift your attention from the anatma thought aspect to the consciousness atma aspect. And in order to shift one's attention, take one's attention from the body anatma to mind anatma, heart anatma, thought anatma to pure consciousness atma, one needs to be given to the discipline of Shravanam. So Dhyayata. Dhyayata means may you dwell upon your own essential nature. May you contemplate upon consciousness being your essential nature. So in order to contemplate upon the subject matter of the teaching, and to contemplate upon the one's own essential nature in terms of consciousness, thereby to shift one's attention from the thought to consciousness, we can use certain mantras of any mantra of Upanishad. But here in this mantra, Upanishad specifically mentions Omkaraha. Om iti atmanam dhyayata. So take this Omkara mantra, and with the support of this Omkara, having Omkara as the alambanam, it means what? Omkara can be an alambanam for Nirgunam Brahma, Sagunam Brahma also. Therefore, now one can associate consciousness Atma with Omkara. Om iti Atmanam Dhyayata. Now one can take consciousness, Atma, one can associate Atma, the consciousness, with Omkaraha. Why? Because Shastram uses See, always our mind is of the nature of working through a given law known as law of association. Mind always is of the nature of working through a law of working through law of association. Because we connect, you know, when in the temple, suppose the priest rings the bell and we all do what? Even we are standing in the queue. And immediately we know bell is ringing, she is doing the aarti. Ringing the bell is what? Associates us with the aarti. And 4 o'clock, sometimes people are used to have the habit of having tea or coffee at 4 o'clock. You know, suppose 4 o'clock, means I remember Kappadi uncle, you know, he'll take some cake he used to like, and tea and coffee, tea and some snacks and tea. It's a time. 4 minutes, around 4 o'clock. Okay, 4 minutes, we must have tea. Associates. Mind works through the law of association. Similarly, here also what now? Oh, Om means what? Brahma. Brahman is what? Consciousness. Therefore, using his Omkara as an alambanam, associating Omkara with Atma with Omkara, one must meditate upon the fact, thereby one must train one's mind to connect Om with Atma, to connect Atma with Om. One must train one's mind to associate Omkara with consciousness, the Atma. And what is Akara, Ukara, Makara? What is Omkara? Akara, Om consists of 4 aspects. Please give me a few minutes, I'll finish it. Om consists of 4 aspects. Akara stands for gross universe. Ukara stands for subtle universe. Makara stands for unmanifest universe, causal universe. And when you utter Omkara, Om, 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 Om. After Makara, before you start another Omkara, there's silence. The silence stands for pure consciousness. Okay. Maybe I'll continue next class. Is it clear? I had to say a few more things. Anyway, it will go above the head. It's too much to attend to. So we'll discuss next week. Anyway, it's an important portion of this Upanishad. We'll discuss again next class. Anyway, summarize the whole thing, what I said today, without elaborating, and we can continue with the mantra unfold next week. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.